Welcome back to the Discourses. This is Pastor John here, and you're listening to the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA 99.5 FM. Yeah.
And I just want to say this before we go to the call is that people who believe in that Bible, and I'm not saying that there's a problem with the Bible, it's with the people. And people who are believing in these preachers and running to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, they're screwed up people. They don't have peace. They're not going to find the peace that they're looking for until they look within themselves, until they let go of the world and find the kingdom of heaven that is within us. And in that kingdom, the Holy Spirit teaches us, it guides us, it perfects our life.
You think that's what I need to do? I need to look within myself and find peace,
right? I'm sorry?
You think that I need to look within myself and find peace?
Absolutely. You're not going to find
it
any other way.
Tell you
when you disagree with that?
No, no, no. May I tell you what I find when I look in me?
What?
Let me tell you what I find. I found uncontrollable lust. Wait a minute. Let me tell you what else I found. A desire to get high. Let me tell you what else I find in me. I find racial hate. Oh, let me tell you what else I find when I look deep down within my humanness. I find total debauchery. Now,
what do you do when you see that?
Let me tell you what I do. Let me tell you what I do. I'm real with me, Jesse. And I know that every human being born is born with that same potential and capacity to see it within themselves. Not whether they own up to it. They can rationalize it and say, I wasn't born that way. I am born a pure child.
I
mean,
what do you do when you see that within yourself?
I don't do nothing because there's nothing that I can do about that.
And see, that's what the problem is.
Wait. I just answered and said that I don't do nothing and you said that there's a problem.
I'm going to make a point to what you're saying.
Okay, make a point to my not responding to what I see in me.
And the reason that people are hooked on the Bible and everything else is because they don't
want to
see. I'm making the statement.
You are avoiding the issue, Mr. Peterson.
I'm trying to get to the issue.
I want you to respond to... I don't respond to that in me because there's no use for me to respond. There's nothing that I can do about that. Now, what you would have one to believe from this revelation that you gained.
But you don't know. I haven't said anything yet.
You
won't let me say what I believe.
Well,
you don't know what I believe.
Well, let's let these people say. Let's let them say. All right, we're going to go to Wade from Canoga Park. Speak to us, Wade.
My goodness, my goodness. Everybody, please praise the Lord.
Praise him anyhow, Wade.
Brother Peterson.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem with evangelists, preachers, and I guess anybody who will say that you don't need to go to school to learn how to discern the Word of God.
Why do you have a problem with that?
Let me take you to Hosea 4.
Yeah, we're going to the Bible.
No, let him,
yes,
man.
We're going to the Bible.
Where's your common sense?
Come on, man. Jesse, don't do that.
But can't he just tell me?
Wade, go ahead and read it to him because Jesse's in denial of the Word of God.
The reason I'm not going to just tell you is because I don't want to misquote the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem is with churches today. They get up in front of people. The evangelists, they get up, they're not learned of the Bible, but they want to get up and preach the Word of God.
Right.
And they don't even know what they're talking about.
Hosea
4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Now, you said that
are you a preacher?
The Holy Spirit.
No. Did you go to school to be a preacher?
Why?
I'm not a preacher.
Why does he have to be a preacher?
To seminary, but I'm telling you, you are the reason that I want to go to school.
Good for you, Wade.
Why is that?
Let me tell you something.
Why is that?
2 Timothy great. Also says, study.
Oh my God.
Study meaning to give diligence.
Then that
show thyself
right.
Approved.
Right, right.
Unto God.
That's not what study means.
Men.
No. You're wrong about that. That's
man,
not what study means.
He quoted the Greek word.
That's not what study means.
Hey, man, what?
Let me
I can't hear what you're saying.
Let him respond.
Yeah, let him respond to the callers.
Let him respond. He's going to give us an exegetical description of what study means. Go ahead, bro. We listen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm referring to 2 Timothy. 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Now, wait.
A workman that needeth not be ashamed.
Wade, he wants to define to you what this word study means. So
okay,
would you please...
What does study mean?
Brother Peterson.
You know, study implies that you look outside for the answer.
That you look outside for the answer?
Yes.
Outside, where? Look outside.
Let me
okay.
respond.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
You're looking outside to where?
Hold on a minute. Hold on. If you read only your Bible, God tell us to
if
look...
If I read only my Bible?
Hold on. God tell us to look within ourselves. He tell us to
How
see...
How are you going
to
look within yourself? And there's nothing there to look for.
There's nothing there but debauchery, man.
What are you going to look for? There's nothing in there but junk unless the Holy Spirit puts it in there.
And you're right. There's
you know,
nothing.
If the Holy Spirit puts it there, why would the Holy Spirit put something there and then it's going to go back and tell
man.
You to study to show yourself approved?
Yeah, Brother Wade, you know that gal Shirley stood out on the Pacific Ocean and she looked within herself and came up with the prognosis that she is God. That McLean woman. See, man, you're talking New Age nuance. That's all that is, man.
Yeah, I'm not talking.
That's the same old New Age bull crap that's been out
you
for
know what?
A thousand years, Jesse.
Let me say this.
There's nothing good within human
I'm
beings.
Not even talking anything because you guys won't let me talk.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
I mean, you won't let me talk. And these people on the...
Come on, let him talk. He got 20 minutes.
Whenever your friends call up and make a statement, they interrupt. I mean, you interrupt.
All right, we're listening, Jesse.
I've never been on a show where the people don't even allow you to respond.
This is the hour of the discourses, man. We are Christians that are on fire.
But don't you know that you're supposed to... But you don't realize that when you have a guest on, you have to let your guest respond?
Yeah, well, go ahead. We'll let you talk a few minutes.
I want to hear what he wants to say.
All right. As a matter of fact, Wade, God bless you. We're going to let you go so we can take another call. And you can
before
listen.
You go,
yes.
I also want your guests to refer to 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness,
Wade.
To goodness,
Wade.
Knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control.
Wade, let me tell you this, Wade.
Yes.
I have never met you, right?
Right.
But I can absolutely guarantee you, Wade, you're very weak. Lost man. You have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what?
You have no idea what you're talking about.
You made me.
You take that Bible from you.
You made me right. But
I bet you your wife. Are you married?
My people suffer from, and they're destroyed from.
Wait.
You know what? Wait. You want?
Wait. I bet your wife ruined your life.
So I can no longer be weak in the Word of God as you are.
Wait. You can't reach this man. You can't reach him. But thanks for your call.
The Holy Spirit can.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pray for you.
Pray for the Holy. Thank you. Thank you, Wade. God bless you.
My going out.
Gosh. Your earphones are going out.
This microphone.
No. The mic's all right. You just talk into that. You're all right. We hear you real good. No, you can't go to the next one. Just stay right there. That's.
But I can't hear on my earphone.
Oh, but you can't hear on the earphone? That's right. Mark can come in and take care of you.
No.
Hey, let's get ready to take another call. Let's go to line 3 here because we're on live, so we can fix your... Okay, we got an interesting question from, who's this, Darnell in Compton? Hi.
Rondell.
I'm sorry, Rondell.
How you doing, Pastor John?
I'm doing fine, Rondell.
Good to talk to you again. I have a couple questions for your guest in the studio.
I'm not going to be able to answer them.
You're not?
He won't let me.
I'll allow you to answer them.
All right.
I also first want to say that you do bring up a good point about going to school. I believe it is not necessarily necessary that we go to school. However, I don't think it's altogether a bad thing if you're going to a school that teaches true Christian thought. If you're going to one of these liberal seminaries or one of these word faith seminaries, it might be best that you stay out of school.
Good point.
However, there's nothing inherently wrong with going to school. I haven't been to school for theology pretty much because I grew up with both of my grandfathers were ministers, so I've always been saturated with the Word, but that doesn't mean that I will not go to get any training. My first point to you, or question rather, would be, are you a Christian, first of all?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
But not like the ones you know.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because there's only one type of Christian.
Thank you.
There's more than one type.
Oh,
how do you know you're a Christian?
Look around your
answer
neighborhood.
Answer the question.
You're
answer
all
the,
that.
Yes,
wait a minute.
Answer
wait a minute.
The question.
Answer the question.
Yes, sir.
Let's dialogue. How do you know you're a Christian?
Because I'm able to see.
You're able to see?
Yes. I'm able to see the right way to go.
Okay. But how do you know? What makes you a Christian, first of all? Define that for me, because it's been ambiguous since I've been on. Listening.
I realize that Christianity is come from the term.
No, you define
Christ-like.
He's asking you to
Christ-like.
Define.
I'm trying to answer the guy.
Okay.
Christ-like. So that's what Christianity, the meaning of Christianity.
No.
But I know that the true Christian is a person that is following Christ, not by his will, but God's will be done.
Okay. So I still didn't get any clarity from that. How do you know that you are a Christian? What makes you a Christian?
I don't know what else to tell you other than I'm able to see. Before, I couldn't see. When I was studying the Bibles and quote scriptures back to people and going to church every day, my life was screwed up.
So
I couldn't see. And one day when I was in prayer, he allowed me to see. And when I and as a result of seeing, now I can see the right way to go and follow him.
Okay. So,
and it's just that simple.
So basically you're saying you prayed and God opened your understanding and then you became a Christian.
Yeah, I prayed, God opened, allowed me to see, and my life began to change. Now, that is called Christianity in this country.
Well, unfortunately, this is not a Christian country.
Right.
So let me...
I disagree with that.
No, this is a heathen country, man. This
is
a double-dyed heathen country.
This is how most Christians are heathens.
Okay, can I speak now?
Yeah.
You made a good point earlier about why is it that the world cannot see the power behind Christianity. And I see that as basically because we have forgot the central thesis of Christ, the fact that he came to give life.
Right.
And when we get life, which I define as God's life coming through us to the world so that they see, then signs and power will be forth, come forth, and people's minds will be open.
Yeah,
and so you would say, my brother, that you do not look deep within yourself to discover life.
No.
Thank you.
You don't have it.
Let me explain.
You don't have it.
Let me explain something to you because I understand where you're at.
Right.
So let me give you a few simple things before my time runs out. First
Go ahead,
your heart is wicked and deceitful amongst all things.
Yes.
God said that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Yep.
So Christians are not going around thinking, unfortunately, some of them live double-minded lives so you can't see the life of God in them.
Ooh.
Christians, when they get that new heart and that new spirit, then we have God's thoughts and his wisdom to illuminate those thoughts and his power to bring forth those thoughts.
May I
in
ask
our
you
lives.
Something?
Let me finish.
But you're not going to finish, sir.
Yeah, we'll give you about 30
let
seconds.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Finish. Now, the problem with people such as yourself is that Christians use circular reasoning when dealing with you. We reason from the scriptures instead of proving the scriptures' reliability first. I want to give you one point.
Oh, my
very
God.
Quick, very quick, don't even, man, you got to end up. End up your treatise.
One point that you can go and you can look from an external source outside of the scriptures, and that's the Jewish people.
Can you ask one question for me before you leave?
Yeah, Ron.
How do you know that what you believe is true?
I just told you.
How do you know that what you believe?
Because historically, the Bible has been proving reliable and an...
How do you know that the Bible is right?
Through the practice of canonicity.
Yeah, how do you know that the Bible is right?
Through the study of canonicity.
I just told you. Because
this man
if we
blind.
Sat down,
that's
I could give
for.
You archaeological evidence. I could give you prophecy.
But Donnell, you know what? He won't receive that. So
no,
you'd be wasting your breath, brother.
I understand.
You'd be you know what, man? We have run into, see, and that's how come I invited Jesse on, because I wanted Jesse to come in contact with some real Christians.
Right.
No,
but
you invited me on because you want to try to prove that I'm wrong. You're right.
No.
So you haven't allowed me to say, you've been very rude. You haven't allowed me to say anything.
Jesse.
You have brought me on.
Hey, Donnell, thanks for the call.
You have not brought me on for a dialogue. You have brought me on to try to prove that I'm wrong by yelling and screaming over me.
No.
By when you're call to make a statement, you jump it up and shout.
Yes.
We have not dialogue. They know nothing about me. They know nothing about me because hold on a minute. At least let me say this. They know nothing about me because you have not allowed me to say this.
Okay, Jesse.
And that's rule for a talk show host to do that.
As Christians, we feel that
where's your patience? I could be wrong. You haven't even allowed me to show that I'm wrong.
As Christians, what we do is we are in a fight. And this fight that we're involved in, my brother, is a fight to hold up the standard of the Word of God.
Well, where's your patience?
I have no patience with someone that
would
say.
Then you're not with God then.
I would have no patience.
Is God patient with you?
I have no patience with anyone.
Is he patient with you?
That would deny the word of God.
But look at all the foolish mistake you made. Isn't he patient with you?
I know that we have four other callers ready to come on, and you got to leave in a couple of minutes, so we aren't going to get into any personal dialogue about each other. We are going to be as humane as we possibly can. We're going to say hello to Melody from the city of Englewood. Hello, Melody.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, dear.
First, I want to say a few, couple of things real quick, and then I have two questions for your guest.
Sure.
Okay, first.
Okay, I'll be here to answer.
Okay. Well, we'll see. They said that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who perish, so I can understand why you don't believe the Bible. And so in reading Isaiah, Philip asked the eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" So that right there told me that there will be people who will read and not understand and will have to be guided by someone who does understand.
Acts 8.
So yes. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And since you said you're looking inside yourself, that doesn't settle the problem of you being separated from God because of man's sin.
But you
and
see, Melody,
you, let me finish my statement.
Oh,
first.
That's me talking.
Since you are being separated from God because of your sin, how can you look inside of yourself and you have clarity to know that you are not being deceived?
Because he rejects the word of God as God's word. He rejects the word of God as God's word. So the scripture that you quoted me.
I want to help him out. Let him answer this because you'll say something and he'll go off on that tangent and he'll never answer my question.
In case a woman that made you be quiet, isn't that a shame?
Jesse.
What is your question again to me?
My question is, since you're looking inside of yourself, to me that's a straight spiritualism and that has absolutely nothing to do with the gospel. Where is your Savior, and how do you know, because since you're not accepting the words of God to bring you back to God, how are you being reconciled to God looking inside yourself?
I believe that the Bible is the word from God, but the word of God dwells in my heart. And the Bible clearly shows me that I shall look within. It shows me where to look to find.
But you had to go to the Bible to find the way.
Right.
How can you discount the Bible when you had to go to the Bible to know that you had to look within yourself for answers?
Okay, I'm not discounting the Bible, but I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in God.
Then you just contradict yourself. You don't believe in the Bible, but you looked in the Bible.
I believe in God.
You had to look inside yourself.
Right.
You know, like Shirley MacLaine.
I looked in the book. I looked in the book to see where to find God. And when I looked within myself...
You had to go to the book to find that you needed him, even know that you needed the God.
So do you believe in the Bible or something?
Honey, I believe in Jesus. And
so
I
you don't
know
believe
Jesus
in the Bible?
Something without the Bible.
So you don't believe in the Bible?
Oh, honey, I believe in the Bible.
And you believe in God, too?
That's right.
How can you believe in both?
You can believe that the Word is inspired by
How
God.
How do you believe
God
in both?
God used the Bible to let me know he was looking for me because I
Hello?
Didn't know to look
Hello?
For him.
Hello?
And you yourself said the same thing.
Listen,
but
thank
that,
you.
But then where I went on and said that I accept the Bible because it showed me that I needed the God, you discount the Bible because it showed you that you needed the God. So as soon as it told you that you needed the God, you said, he's got to be in me.
Right. And listen, Melody, thank you for that argument. I like it, dear. God bless you.
This is why black people are screwed up.
Wait a minute.
Listen to Adam. All they're doing is calling up here, quote scriptures, and getting nowhere.
You know it's true. Every time you lose an argument by one of these folk that call in.
How am I losing an argument? I'm not even having an argument. It's one side.
Okay, let's go to line four. I think this is Ken and Thousand Oaks. We only have a couple of more minutes. Ken, you're on with Jesse Peterson.
Hey, if you think black people are screwed up, I'm a believer in a Jew, and let me tell you, trying to explain what I believe to my Jewish brethren is equally screwed up.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. You know, I'll leave the Bible out of it for 1 second. First of all, this is what Jesse is believing in is not anything unusual. It's been going on for a long time.
Sure.
You call it spiritualism or looking within yourself. It's Gnosticism.
Right.
It's the belief that you know best for yourself based on what you feel,
right,
who Jesus is and what he means. But let's just leave that out for 1 second.
Okay.
Let's leave the Bible out because he doesn't like that. And certainly,
right,
you know, the Bible, bibliolatry, idolatry of the Bible has
right
caused a lot of problems. I just want to get back to something your screener asked. As far as education is concerned for a Christian preacher, hey, look, you know, if in the world if the non-believer needs education to get by, how much more so does somebody who believes in God need some education?
But how can someone teach you what God has to teach you?
I'm not talking about that kind of education.
But that's what I'm
talking
about.
Wait a minute.
But that's what we're talking
about.
What
are you talking about?
We're saying that if a preacher is called by God, he does not have to go to school so that another preacher can teach him what God has in store for him.
Yeah, I know it's exasperating.
Look, wait. I'm not. My understanding, when I want to get some additional knowledge about what I don't understand concerning, you know, biblical principles or just Christian, leave the Bible out of it, Christian principles or the history of the church, I'm going to look to get educated because I want to know what different people have to say.
And that's all right.
But the key point is, once again, I'm sorry, Pastor, but just to leave the Bible out of it for a second,
sure.
You know, Christianity is not based on how you feel about Jesus Christ or how you feel about the Bible. Christianity is based on a fact, and it's the only religion that says there's an absolute fact that happened in history, unlike any other fact, which is going to make you come to some conclusion about whether you believe in Jesus Christ or you don't, and that fact is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesse, if you went into the grave for 3 days and you rotted there for a while, or we thought you rotted there, and then you came out and claimed to be the Son of the living God, and I could put my fingers in the holes in your hand, I'd take another look at you, man.
Right.
But I don't necessarily, you know, but that didn't happen to you. It happened to Jesus Christ. And if you believe in the reality of that, then you're going to be changed by that one way or another. You're either going to ignore it or you're going to believe it. And that's an external fact of historical veracity. You're either going to believe it or you don't. No other religion makes that claim. And certainly no other religious leader made the claim that Jesus Christ made about himself. He was the way, the truth, and the light. He saw heaven from the inside. I mean, this guy is either a complete nut or he's telling the truth. And that has nothing to do about the way you feel about him or the way you feel about God. You've got to draw some conclusions about the reality or unreality of what Jesus claimed to be and what happened to him.
Ken, thanks for your call. Excellent words. Really appreciate you.
Okay.
God bless you,
Good
brother.
Good night now.
Right. You know, and that's an interesting call, Jesse, because I think here again, you know, he left the Bible out of it, and what he was talking was just basic philosophical thought when you handle issues like that. Now, we know you guys got to leave in about 5 minutes. Yeah. The other folk on the line, Mike and Doug and Glenn, stay on there because we're going to get you, and those of you that are calling in, we will take you. Jesse, some closing thoughts.
I do want to say that, you know, I've been on many talk shows all across the country.
Sure.
Everybody in their mama show, and this is the worst.
Yeah.
I've never gone on the show
That's
where
quite all right.
I've had a host that is absolutely rude.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even let me make a statement, interrupt, even when the callers call.
Right.
At least
right.
Most hosts let you dialogue with the callers.
Right.
And it's been a good experience.
And you know why they do?
It's been a good experience for me because you betrayed me as a friend, and you call yourself setting me up, but it didn't work.
Jesse. Me betrayed you. Man, what you're saying on your show about our community, in my humble opinion, is worse than betrayal.
But you didn't have to fool me here. I would have still come.
I
don't run away from anybody. If you had called me up and said, Jesse, I want to bring you on my show to embarrass you, I still would have come.
I told you what I was going to do before we came on the air.
No, you didn't. I didn't even speak to you.
I tell all of my guests what I'm going to do.
No.
As a matter of fact, we told your man.
You didn't tell me this.
When we called your
you did
man
not tell
week.
Me this.
But anyhow, that's
but you didn't tell me this. You're not telling the truth.
I appreciate you.
But it's the point I want you to know, I would have come anyway. Even
I'm
if,
glad you came.
Even if you had said, "Just, I want to bring you on to embarrass you,"
most
I still would have come.
Most folk that listen to the discourses knows that the discourses really takes Christianity serious and the Word of God, and we're kind of like an in-your-face ministry.
So you don't even dialogue with your guests?
Yeah, we dialogue.
But you didn't tonight.
And then when we hear something that's ridiculous,
but you haven't heard
it
anything tonight.
Because you didn't say anything.
Right, you didn't let me.
Right.
All right.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break right now, and then, well, listen, we're still on the air for 30 more minutes. You other callers hanging there. This is Pastor John Coleman of the Olivet Discourses, and we'll be back shortly. Pastor John Coleman, Senior Pastor, Olivet Baptist Church in Los Angeles. Jesse is on his way down to a studio for a show tonight, but we're going to continue to take some calls. Hello to Glenn from Torrance.
Oh, I'm on now, huh?
Sure.
Oh, boy, okay, and Jesse got off there.
Yeah, he had to leave and go down to the studio.
Oh, boy, well, I was going to bring to him the idea of, see, this is where I'm coming from. Before I was a Christian, I was an agnostic, and I had a pretty good back pocket God that I made up out of my own mind.
Okay.
Why should I believe anything that he says about God? A major portion of my becoming a Christian, in fact, I'd say kind of the cornerstone of my becoming a Christian, is now I don't just make up God in my image. I've got to go to the book.
Right.
And I've got to let God tell me what he's about. And, you know, it's like Jesus said, you know, he was saying to the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness to me. And he goes on, he says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name,
right,
you will receive him. People
right
are coming in their own name, and he's called everyone who came before him thieves and robbers. And, you know, it was just like 1 Timothy chapter 3, all about the you've known from a babe the scriptures. They're all God breathed so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it's just like so many things, right? This is the ground on which we can stand and know what God is. Otherwise,
absolutely,
we're at the mercy of, what about Jim Jones and his revelation?
But you see, Glenn, what we have here, Glenn, is that an individual who, for whatever reason of his own,
mm-hmm,
rejects the standard of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother from Compton, I think, hit it right on the head. What is it that you believe about God? Our own independent beliefs about God, when not validated,
mm-hmm,
by the Word of God, causes us to be invalid.
He made a reference in Jeremiah about the heart is deceitful about everything, above all things.
Right.
It's interesting because Jeremiah starts that passage, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind.
Absolutely.
And makes flesh his strength. And what really is amazing is Jeremiah basically takes Psalm 1 and paraphrases it and says he says he's like a bush in the desert, and he
right
goes through all this bit, and he says that's when you turn away from trusting in the Lord.
But
Psalm 1 is all about trusting in the law of God.
You see, Glenn, what you are is you've taken hermeneutics and you put it together and it has some meaning to you. But remember now, you're a Christian that believes in the Word of God. You're
amen
a Christian that believes in being taught by other godly men. Glenn, thanks for your call, my brother.
Okay.
God bless you now. All right, we're going to continue to take a call. Our next call is coming all the way in from the Redlands, Doug in Redlands. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Pastor John. How are you?
Doing real great, thanks.
I'm concerned.
Yeah, you should be. This was a very interesting show tonight, very interesting guest. And let me say this publicly now, and Jesse's probably listening on the radio, I don't think that I treated him any worse than I would treat anyone else. I think that we as Christians need to take a stand for something. And I think that in various forms, we as Christians always come out the losers. I don't like losing when it comes to God. I don't have to argue for God. But when you don't have a valid argument and you make those kinds of statements, I will speak up for God. And if I seem to be offensive, you wait until God starts judging. But go ahead, Doug. You call me.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out how he puts the reasoning behind denying the scripture is divine.
The Gnostic approach that our other brother told us about, if you really want to read the epistles of John.
Right, John 1:1 was the reason why.
Right. You see, and that's just it. For it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, that we have seen with our own eyes, that we beheld with our hands, handled concerning the word of life. You see, what he's saying is that his interpretation of the word of life is the word that life comes from him. You
see, the heart of all men is deceitful.
But remember, you just quoted the scripture,
right,
which, you know, he doesn't believe in.
I mean, it's almost pop psychology, or you know what I mean?
It is a play with words, because as Jesse so adequately points out, and he does it marvelously, there are individuals in our community, black, white, or whatever, that can use this word of God to manipulate the minds of certain individuals. In my opinion, something happened there that has caused this tremendous distaste for, you know, the clergy. And that's what clergy can do. I happen to be a pastor, but Doug, at the same time, I do radio. And Jesse does radio well. You see, that's why I love the brother. He does good radio. I think of myself, Jesse Peterson, and Larry Elders on another station as three African Americans that do radio very well. But we have strictly different opinions about how to do it.
Does he have any idea what his ratings are?
He hasn't been on as long as I.
The concern is how many people are listening to him and buying in.
There are quite a number of people listening to him and viewing his public access television shows, which are very popular in the South Central area. But he's very controversial. Go ahead.
The point I wanted to make was ultimately only God can judge the heart, but there's a lot of heretical statements that he makes that deny of historic Christian faith.
Of course, and that's why my brother from Compton asked him, was he saved? Because
that would have been my next question.
Yeah, because you see, and the assumption is that I asked his screener when we called him to come on the show. As a matter of fact, we said, does Jesse view himself as a Christian? And he said yes, and that's why I prompted him to come on the show. I would not ask a man that would not profess to be a Christian that would try to argue for or against God, because I'd be cutting my own throat.
Well, I think of all of the callers you had tonight, we pretty much, I don't want to use the word destroyed his doctrine, but I, you know.
Well, that's what the
I hope he learned from it.
Well, I was speaking with him while we were doing the commercial, and I said, Jesse, that's what the discourses do. And you know, he think that I, you know, set him up, but it wasn't a setup. We discussed what I would do, and I said that the nature of the caller would carry the show.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's the callers that carries the discourses, and what I think that I had an opportunity to demonstrate tonight was that we as Christians are thinking things instead of a bunch of emotional folk that's dribbling at the mouth and bubbling out of the belly. So, but I appreciate your call, Doug.
All right.
Thank you, my brother.
God bless.
God bless you. And we're going to take this call. Patricia, you've been hanging on for 10 minutes and 55 seconds from Highland. Hi, Pat. How you doing?
Hi, Brother John. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to make two comments, and then, you know, you can disagree me with me or whatever.
Go right
ahead. I was raised on the farm in Arkansas, and I heard the black preachers and the white preachers back then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, preached the Word of God, and back then it was like the old saying, hellfire and damnation, but they preached God's love too.
Sure.
And I think a lot of pastors got away from preaching the wrath of God. He says he's going to have wrath against the unbelievers at the end.
Well, because that's a very distasteful message in a 20th century educated society that we live in. No one wants to hear that hellfire is theirs, and so what the preacher does is he accommodates his congregation by telling them exactly what he thinks they want to hear.
That's right.
They pay him well, they feed him well, and he is such an outstanding man in the community that he's asked to give the social prayers. Never to mention Jesus' name, because that's a generic term for God, and you must not ever mention his name. Just call him the Holy Father, but don't call him Jesus.
That's right. And another thing I'd like to say is the problem is, and I do believe in the family structure, because God handed, you know, that's it says in the Bible, man, woman, and so on and so forth. But I don't think that we should blame our sins upon another individual. You see where I'm getting from?
No, I don't. What did you mean by
that? No, I know you don't. But so many people has an excuse, and they think when they get sin before God Almighty, well, just because that this, you know, I didn't accept your son, it's because I was abused as a child, or I came from an alcoholic home. You see where I'm coming from?
Sure, I do.
Because we all have to answer to the Lord. Our knees are going to bow before him. We're not going to stand there. We're going to fall on our face before him, because he's so holy.
Right.
And the believer and unbeliever will fall before his throne, before him. Mm. And that's where it comes from, is the sin that's in this country.
Sure.
We are not a Christian nation. We are not, and people
no, we are not
a Christian
no.
nation, but we are
sinful,
dead. Yeah. I mean, it is unholy before the Lord.
What we've done, Patricia, is that we have turned so far away from God because of, and I believe that the Lord, in a powerful way, has... Well, I really don't like to talk about it, because when I think about what America could be, okay, you know, with the knowledge that we have of the holy, with the ability to educate, to feed, to clothe humanity, to be godly in every way, we have completely turned our back on it, and history must repeat itself.
That's right. America could feed the people. We wouldn't have homeless, but there's greediness out there that we've got so much food. We could feed the poor people in this country. We could feed poor people in other countries. But you know, we send millions and billions to foreign programs that don't mount to a hill of beans, as you might have say, that the countries just waste the money that we send to them, and it don't go to the people that starve it.
Well, that's another subject matter altogether, but Patricia, I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. Let me share this with you. Jesse and I hugged each other afterwards, shook hands in the studio. As a matter of fact, his partner that was with him took a couple of pictures of me, hugging Jesse here in the booth. So we did not part angry at one another. Jesse is a professional and all rights. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the organization again. I don't think that very many Christians would attend his meeting because he's holding his meetings when Christians usually worship during that time. And you see, I have difficulty with that, but I didn't say that on the air, but I hope that if any of you Christians would like to go by there and dialogue, do that. I recall once I was on the Jesse Peterson show, and there was a lady in the audience who asked, what is the definition of a man? And Jesse had some panel guests there, and it was embarrassing. They couldn't answer it. And I forget what I said. I guess God, not through revelation, but just human inspiration, defined through me what a man was. And the lady was very pleased with that, and Jesse and I had developed a relationship with each other over the year that I've known him. But there's one thing that bothers me, you see, and there's obviously something that bothers, you know, Jesse about me, too. And there will always be that. And I would hope that I would be able to one night go on down the street and dialogue on his radio show. And I would never speak poorly of him. What I do is I must not allow any studio guests, whether they're Christian or not, to trample over believers that have a high regard for the Word of God. If you have a high regard for the Bible and the Word of God, obviously, since you're calling the discourses, you get the first priority. If you have, the attitude to call and say, I don't believe God, I think that you all are out of your mind and everything, our screeners probably won't let you on the air. This is a Christian radio presentation, and so therefore we put the highest credibility on Christianity. Now, we have a caller coming up from San Bernardino, Anna, and I think that I'm ready to take Anna, so let's see. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Pastor John.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I met you down at the breakfast, and I just wanted to let you know there's going to be another black voice on the radio here around the country. Alan Keyes is going to begin his nationwide talk show tomorrow.
Oh, is that right?
He's going to be being carried on the Salem Radio Network on their various stations. And others as they can open up the time slots and add them, but I'd just counsel you and your audience to keep an ear out for them.
Hey, listen, that's good. Those folks that are into politics and listening to what those guys have to say are into that. You know, I went to hear Dr. Keyes speak at a breakfast out in Anaheim,
I met you out there.
Yeah, right.
And, you and Harley came down.
Right, Harley and I went down there, and it was a very, as a matter of fact, Mike Horton was down there with us that time. We had a good time.
But, you know, it's not just politics. You ought to hear the guy teach the Bible. He's a pretty good scripture teacher himself.
Yeah, he is a high moralist, and, when he finished his discussion, I said, you know, the guy really has a heart for families and the community and all. But I think that in the political arena, America's not ready for that. They're just not ready for that, man.
Well, maybe the Lord will change our hearts and cause us to repent. Maybe just what we need, huh?
But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And it, you know, goes along with that line, and maybe we can, you know, discourse a little bit about that. Do you think, and please, I'm not asking this to set you up, but I got to ask you because you do follow these things. Do you think it would be appropriate if all of America were Christian? Tell the truth.
No, it's not possible, and from the scripture.
All right, but
do you think it's appropriate to enforce
if all America were Christian? Truthfully.
Do I think we can make America Christian by the force of law?
No, I said, do you think it would be appropriate to live in a country where everybody believed the way that you do?
Oh, believe the way that I do. No, because no, we're not all going to have total agreement, I don't think.
Okay, so since it is not, it is good for us to have Christian ideas and Christian thought, but would it be, and I'm not trying to start, but would it be appropriate to think that if we got rid of all the liberals and, you know, all the Clintonites and all this kind of stuff and put in a Bible-toting Christian, that most of our problems would be over? I guess that's the question that I'm asking.
Well, if you're careful to make sure that, of course, you would want to, I think, as a Christian, try to put a Bible-believing person in office any time you could, but not necessarily a person that would...
What would happen to the country if that would take place, if the majority of the country were not Christian? Would that not start a revolution?
Well, if in fact...
Especially if the Christian would start to try to put in laws that would go along with the B-I-B-L-E.
That's what you have to watch out for.
If a
person decides that they're going to enforce their interpretation of the Bible by the force of law, they've then taken the Bible and they've jumped to the Constitution, which is the measure of enforcing laws, and they've skipped over the bridge, which is necessarily in between, and that is the Declaration of Independence, which is a secular civic document.
Thank you.
Defines our common moral agenda as Americans.
Right.
And that is the bridge between the Bible and the Constitution as laid down by our founders.
Okay, we aren't going to discuss it any further, but promise to keep listening to the discourses, because by the time that the elections come up, we want to carry this further.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, Pastor.
Bye-bye now. Excellent call. Man, I like that kind of stuff. Now let me take Anna from San Bernardino. I'm sorry, Anna. I thought that I'd press your button. How you doing?
Fine, thank you, Anya.
Thank you, fine.
Oh, well, I just wanted to call because I want to thank your radio station. I have some family members that don't believe in the Bible also. But, you know, because I've been a Christian since I was like, you know, well, since I remember I was like 8 years old.
Right.
But my family's been in it since I was about, you know, like 3 or 4.
Yes.
But, I don't know. We've had, like, you know, a lot of discussions, like I heard a while ago.
Yes.
And they always, you know, argue about the Bible and stuff. And I don't like arguing with them because I think it's not right. But also I would like to, like, you know, tell them that if you know, the Bible wasn't true and if we weren't supposed to believe it, then why did God, you know, use his sons, you know?
Well, my guest would not have any problem with answering that question. He would just say that you just don't need another man to teach it to you, and there's where we would fundamentally disagree. And then at the same time, Anna, what you must realize is that most of our effect in the lives of individuals that are not Christian is done through prayer. And through the gift that God has given me to do radio, what we can do is we can intelligently have a discussion. But again, I believe personally that Christians should be a little bit more aggressive in what they believe. Not aggressive to the point of causing harm, but saying this is what God's Word says and not backing off. I would hope that the discourses tonight communicated that we are to take a stand for truth. Thank you, Anna, for your call.
Okay, thank you for your station. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you for the station, too, and I really thank the station managers here at KKLA allowing us to do the discourse. It really blesses our heart. Wayne in Los Angeles. Hi, Wayne.
Hello there, Pastor John. Praise the Lord, my brother.
Praise the Lord.
You probably don't remember me, but I was the guy who stopped in, and you so graciously came out of your meeting to meet with me.
Oh, yes, Wayne.
And I attended your church. But anyway, I wanted to disagree with that brother, Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have a scripture here as far as I believe that it's saying that one should be taught and, you know, go to school.
Yes.
But it's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, and it reads as thus. It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God.
Yes.
And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, which I guess mean mature.
Absolutely.
Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I understand have their senses exercised is to mean to be trained.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's just the point I wanted to make. And
that's an excellent point, Wayne, and that's one of many scriptures where the Bible, you know, admonishes us to do that. God has never put a premium on ignorance.
Yes, and I concur with you.
And you see, and when people try to make that presupposition and then looking within themselves, a warning light should come on. You cannot find anything good within you. That's why God saved me, because
yes,
I was lost.
And I concur. I feel the same way. And the guy, Jesse, I mean, I just did not know where he was coming from.
Well, he let you know exactly where he was coming from.
Yes,
he has
sure.
A tremendous distaste for what we do and what we stand for. But I think that, you know, thank God that we can still dialogue about it.
Yes, praise the Lord. And I just would like to, you know, say to you that, and although I know that you are not, you know, you haven't been discouraged by that, because I listen to you all the time, and I know that you are a Bible teaching minister and teacher. So I would just like to tell you to just, hey, just stick with it and just keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Well, I'm going to do it, Wayne. God bless you, and thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call, and I love all my brothers and sisters out there.
Thank you now.
Have a fine one, sir.
Thank you now. Bye-bye now. I think we have enough time for about one more call coming up that we're getting ready to take. My screeners are still talking with some of you folks on the phone. Let me share with you, next week we're going to continue as we look at Dr. Kenneth Olmer's book. We're going to continue analyzing. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in Chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the book is called Understanding the Times. And we're going to go through this book. Written by Dr. Ken Olmer. Ken Olmer, pastor of Faithful Central Missionary Baptist Church in Inglewood, California. He's come out with a new book, and we're going through this book on the discourses, not page by page, but some points. If you heard me last week, I have some difficulties with it. And I want some of you to get the book. And I want you to see if you can find the difficulties with it. I want those of you to understand that being a Christian is more than just getting up, going to church, and tapping your feet to the music and disagreeing with a biblical idea. It is doing research. Let me end up as I come to the conclusion of our dialogue here tonight. What you heard on the discourses is exactly what you should be doing tomorrow. When you go by your families, and you guys are eating all that barbecue, and you guys are doing all that, and then they're going to say, what church do you go to? And if you go to a Bible church, you know, it's kind of like a young man told me today. He was in a large church, and he said that a pastor was going around various cities in this country from another country, and he said that he went to a number of churches, and he said that the church that he was in was the only one where the preacher literally said anything from the Bible. And the young man that told me that was saying, Pastor John, that is a tragedy. And it is. Because you see, friends, the Bible is the hallmark of what gives us direction in how we should live. I can appreciate the caller from Compton challenging Jesse's conversion experience. I can appreciate the other callers that called in, Mark that called in from South Central, that challenged him on his definition of certain texts. I can appreciate Brother Wade that called in and was challenged himself. Because, see, Wade sounded like a preacher, but he's not a preacher. You see, you don't have to be a preacher to sound like a preacher. You're a believer. You argue in defense of what God has said. The Word of God is true and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, when that very Word is challenged, and the Christian community waffles out, and let me say it, anyone ever comes on the discourses, I will never, ever, and I've given the challenge to Dr. Olmer to come on the discourses to discuss his book here live on the discourses. You may write a book, I'll read it. I may find something I don't like in that treatise. If I ever write something, you may find something. Why don't you get a radio show? Invite me on. I'll try to back it up. If I can't, crucify me. That's what life is all about. But Jesse was right. We are to do it in the spirit of meekness and of love and of a sound mind. If we are to be worthy of our calling as believers, we must argue for the faith that we say we embrace. We must argue for the Christ that is in our lives. We must allow His Word, the Bible, to speak very loud and very clear. And if you are of the persuasion that preachers are pimps, taking your money and persuading you to do that, please don't ever come by the vet. I don't want to see you. Keep your money in your wallet. I don't want a Lexus. I don't want to live in Palos Verdes. I don't want diamonds and jewelry and gold. Wouldn't know what to do with the mess if I had it. And I don't think a man looks good without, and Jesse would agree with me on this. Jesse doesn't even think that a brother should wear an earring. Well, I differ with him on that. I don't wear one, but if he thinks he looks good, let him poke it in his ear. It's all right with me. But let us not make broad, sweeping statements about a church that we do not have an affinity with. Let us not be so critical upon those Christians unless you're able to walk in the shoes of a believer that has trusted in Jesus Christ. Let us not be so quick to call everybody bootleggers when everybody's not bootleggers. You know, I do respect Jesse because he said, well, I have to admit, John, you are different. I had better be. I'm what you call saved. And you see, the ones that are not different like me are not saved. I concur. There's something rotten in Denmark, and you can call Denmark the church. I concur. Yet everybody that calls himself called of God is not. I concur. Everybody doesn't have to go to school. They don't need to go to school. I concur that I do hang up on people and can get rude. I will hang up on you if you try to deface God and his precious word. I'll hang up on you in a minute. I have the right to do it. I believe that God is going to hang up on many of us. Now, for those of you that have sent in your contributions to the discourses, I would like to thank you. And we'd like you to continuously remember us. Many of you have said that you're praying for us. We need to hear from you financially. And at the end of the show, Brother Mark is going to give our address. And so you can see what our ministry teaches. Oh, I know it's bold. I'm abrasive. I holler at people. I scream. I rant. I rave. I go off. The question is, am I reaching your brain? Because that's what preaching is. When the Apostle Paul came, he didn't come here to be a chump to make you feel good. He pointed through the accusation and out of the sleeve of justice and said, repent. And the world that he lived in did. The world that I live in, they don't even know what it means. So we need you to support us, not only with your prayers, but finances. That's Tony Hill playing our theme song, meaning that our time is about up. This is Pastor John Coleman. Thank you for listening to the discourses. I'll be with you next week if the Lord is with you. Good night, guys.